As I begin this message today, I have a confession to make. It's not one I'm proud of, but I grew up addicted to professional wrestling. It's true, yes. My brothers and I, along with my father, faithfully watched professional wrestling every Saturday as I was growing up. Wrestlers like Bruno Sammartino and Bob Backlund, Andre the Giant, and of course Hulk Hogan made for great entertainment. And my brothers and I would often pretend to be our favorite wrestlers and wrestle with each other. And since they both outweighed me, I always lost. And we enjoyed wrestling for many years until we finally realized, what is all this fuss over? You know, what is this all about, really? Today we're going to look at a great Old Testament story of Jacob wrestling with God. I love this passage so much that in seminary many years ago, I wrote a 20-page paper on this passage alone. And so expect a long sermon today. No, you're not getting the whole paper. I couldn't find the paper, but I do remember writing it many years ago. But here's the thing about this story. The Lord has taken me back to this story many times over the last 50 years. And I too have wrestled with God, but I can't say that I've ever won. Genesis 32:22-32 is our text. So let's read this great story for a message entitled Wrestling with God. Genesis chapter 32, beginning with the 22nd verse, hear now the word of God. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. A little background on Jacob here is probably important. Jacob was the second of twin brothers born to Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob was always a resourceful person. Always a resourceful person. Best description of Jacob I ever heard is that he is someone who would go into a revolving door behind you and come out ahead of you. Okay. He was that type of person. And 20 years before this incident, Jacob and his twin brother Esau had a family bust-up, a breakup. Jacob had tricked and deceived his own father. He had stolen his brother Esau's birthright. And at that time, and in this culture, to steal the birthright was a big deal. It was so big that Esau wanted to kill his brother. That's how big this stealing of the birthright was. They were now sworn enemies. So this was no empty threat. And so Jacob had to flee from his brother, and he knew that Esau meant business. And now we pick up the story some 20 years later. Jacob is now heading back home. He's going back home, and he's going to encounter his brother Esau, and he has no idea what kind of reception he's going to receive. Jacob is nervous. He's anticipating the worst, and Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. Jacob may have been a deceiver, but he also seems to be the brains of the family here, because he's wise enough to prepare Esau with news of his return. And so he tries to build him up and repair some of the damage that's been done. And he does so by sending presents on to Esau. He sends three waves of gifts to gain his favor. But all that is about to change as Jacob encounters God along the Jabbok River. He sends across all his possessions. He sends across all his entourage. And he's left all by himself along the river. Why he didn't cross with the rest of them, we don't know. Maybe he ran out of time. Maybe it got dark. Maybe the stream got too difficult to navigate. But for some reason, he's waiting on the other side. And night is falling. But then in verses 24 to 25, we learn that Jacob is not alone. In fact, he wrestles with someone all night. The first point we want to make this morning is this, is that Jacob wrestles with God. He wrestles with God. Now, the person that's identified here, we know is not a normal human being. It's either an angel or some representative of God. Some suggest it is the pre-incarnate Christ. But it is some supernatural person that he is wrestling with. This is God's representative. And notice that it goes on all night. Is this a man a friend or a foe? Did Jacob agree to this wrestling match, or is he simply defending himself? The story honestly has more questions than it does answers. One thing we do know is that this was a physical wrestling match because the text tells us that Jacob's hip is wrenched in this wrestling match to the point of when it's over, he's left with a limp. Jacob, of course, is focused on Esau. His whole thought process is about what he's going to say when he gets to when he confronts Esau the next day. He's been preparing for some time for this encounter. And now, rather than thinking about what he's going to be saying to Esau, he's wrestling with this unknown person he can't see in the darkness of night. And should we be surprised by this? Because Jacob was a wrestler long before his encounter along the Jabbok River. He wrestled with his brothers, scheming and conniving to get Esau's birthright, scheming to get his father's blessing. He wrestled with Laban to marry his bride Rebekah, only to be deceived and be given Leah to be his wife. He had to work 7 years, an extra 7 years, just to have Rebekah to be his wife. Since the moment he entered this world, he seemed to be wrestling with somebody. This schemer, this conniver, this individual who is usually winning. But this time it's a bit different. This time he can't see the opponent in the blackness of the night, and he's all alone. This is survival. And one thing you can say about Jacob is he's not a quitter. He is not a quitter. He's not about to give up. The term that's used for wrestled here includes parts of the Hebrew word for dust. So that means that these two men were physically wrestling. They were rolling around on the ground in the dust as they went at this for hour upon hour. So this is not a metaphorical wrestling. It's not a dream. It's physical combat. And it's, of course, confirmed by the fact that Jacob limps the next day as a result of this match. I physically wrestled with my brothers growing up, but I cannot recall ever physically wrestling with the representative of God. But I do know that there have been times when mentally I wrestled with God regarding what I was supposed to do next. Times when I was struggling to discern my next step to the point where I couldn't sleep or focus on the task at hand. I remember Thanksgiving Eve, 1997. I was 4 months into my first pastorate, and we had a Thanksgiving Eve service at the church in Martinsburg. I was dating Ruth at the time, and she had come down for the service. And after the service, I was extremely anxious, and I tried to get everyone to leave the church. And finally, after everyone was gone, I asked Ruth if she would join me at the altar rail so that we could pray together. And so we did that, and we knelt at the altar rail, and we prayed together, and in that moment, I decided to ask Ruth to marry me. I figured we were already kneeling, so it's like, might as well take advantage of the opportunity. But the thing is, I had wrestled with the Lord for weeks about, should I do this? Is she indeed the right person for me? And if so, when and how? And I'm not the greatest romantic, so I struggled to find the time and place. But God showed me the time and the place and gave me the right words to do so without some struggle. What happens next in this encounter is rather amazing. You have to picture the scene. Jacob is all alone by the river. It's nighttime. All that he owns and everyone important to him is on the other side of the river. He anticipates meeting his brother the very next day. He's anxious about the meeting that's going to happen. But rather than finding a quiet night's rest, he instead is wrestling with this figure, this person, this supernatural being. When daybreak comes, the angel says, "Let me go." But Jacob is a grabber, right? Remember, he came out of the womb grabbing the heel of his brother. And he's not going to let this opportunity go without getting something of benefit. He says, "No, I won't let you go until you bless me." The point is this: Jacob seeks God's blessing in the midst of the struggle. He looks for the blessing of the Lord even in the midst of his struggle. He knows that this is God's representative, and he wants God's blessing to be upon him. So he refuses to let go. "I won't let go," he says, "until you bless me." The angel of the Lord asked him, "What is your name?" And "Jacob," he answered. So why did the angel of the Lord ask Jacob his name? Surely he knew it. Because our name is our identity. And the blessing Jacob is about to receive is what? A new name. A new identity. He's about to change the fortune of Jacob for the rest of his life. In good times, and yes, in even moments of weakness and failure, Jacob was known as Jacob, but not anymore. Your name says a lot about you, right? Around here, the name Kreider seems to say a lot, right? We have, what, 3 pages in the directory of people with the name Kreider. When I served a church in Harrisburg that my daughter now attends, there were 150 people in worship. And there was about 10 men who had the name Bob. And so whenever we were having a meeting, I would needed a volunteer for something, I would say, "Well, Bob will do it." And sure enough, it would get done because one of the Bobs would step forward and do it. You know what the name Jacob means? It means to seize the heel or to circumvent. And that's how Jacob entered the world. He came seizing the heel of his brother. He came trying to circumvent all the cultural norms of the day. He was a schemer. He was a conniver. That's all about to change. Verse 28, the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." The point is this: God gives Jacob a new name and a new identity. A new name and a new identity. The name Israel means he struggles with God and prevails. "Jacob, you're no longer going to be known as a conniver. You're no longer going to be known as that rascal, that one who's always scheming, always trying to get ahead. You're going to be known as Israel, the one who's blessed of God." A new name and a new identity. The name doesn't quite sink in as Jacob continues to wrestle with this man demanding to learn his name, but the answer never comes. He never does learn the identity of this wrestler he's rolling around on the ground with, but the blessing does. And even though he can't overpower the man, Jacob doesn't survive the match unscathed. Because back in verse 25, we learn that the man touched the socket of his hip and wrenched it during the match. The supernatural quality of this man is evident in that he nearly touched the hip of Jacob to the point where it becomes dislocated. And when it was over, when daylight had come and this man disappears, is gone, Jacob's left with the pain in his hip. To the point that when he rises up and begins to walk, he noticeably limps. Jacob would limp from that day forward as a reminder of this life-changing night where he wrestled with God. Our final point is this: Israel had a constant reminder of his struggle with God and his new identity. He had wrestled with God and won. Verse 30 says, "So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.'" The very next story to follow is Jacob looking up and seeing Esau coming. Jacob, or now Israel, wrestled with God and won. But how is he going to make out in his encounter with his brother Esau? Well, you're going to have to read the rest of the story in Genesis 32 and 33 to see how it turns out. If you know anything about wrestling, you know that you win by either pinning your opponent or having them submit or by disqualification. Well, none of that happened for Jacob. The result of this match is curious. The man is the winner. Jacob's hips dislocated at the socket. He cannot wrestle anymore. And we must understand that Jacob didn't prevail in a sense that he outmaneuvered or overpowered his opponent. But he did realize that he was no ordinary man. And he found a way to prevail. And that was by seeking the blessing of God. You know, friends, we live in a culture that celebrates success and scorns defeat. But sometimes defeat is a mercy. Defeat is what saves us. And what I carry away from the story of Jacob's wounding is the troubling but rock-solid truth that blessing and bruising are not mutually exclusive. That sometimes God's blessing comes with a bruising as well. We can limp and prevail at the same time. We can experience healing in brokenness. If I want to engage with God, then I must expect that I will be changed in the process, and not always in the ways that I would prefer, but in ways that may be uncomfortable. I can't dictate the terms of the blessing. I can say, I want the blessing, but I don't want the limp. Sometimes the blessing is the limp. Can you imagine Jacob leaving that scene and limping for the rest of his life as that reminder of that night along the Jabbok River? And when people would ask him, Jacob, why are you limping? He had quite a story to tell, didn't he? He had an amazing story to tell. It's a story that ends with blessing, with weakness and humility. Jacob wrestled with God and was forever reminded of God's goodness and his own human weakness. Well, Pastor, that's a great story. What am I supposed to do with that? Well, let me give you three takeaways today from this great story. First, if you are wrestling with God in anything, don't expect to win, okay? Don't expect to win. Don't think you'll have your way and still have God's favor and blessing and peace. And don't think that God's going to give up on you. Jesus said as much in Matthew 18 when he says, you know what, I'll leave the 99 to go find the one. I wrestled with God for 15 years regarding the fact that he was calling me to ministry. I left home. I traveled the world. I did everything I could avoid to enter the ministry. But God is a relentless wrestler. He is a relentless wrestler. So don't think you can outlast him. He will pursue you wherever you go and whatever you do. And the only way to win when wrestling with God is to submit and say, okay, God, I get it. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Second, God alone determines our identity. God alone determines our identity. Think about it. Twice in his lifetime, Jacob was named by God. First, as a baby, he was called a cheater or a heel grabber or a supplanter. And boy, did he live up to that name. But as a man, he's named Israel, meaning one who overcomes. God gave him a new identity. No longer scheming, now he is serving. God alone determined his identity, and we live in an age when identity is so important and questioned more than ever. Friends, let God determine your identity. Let your relationship with Jesus Christ define who you are. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Let that be your identity. You are a child of the King, so let's live confidently in that identity. And finally, God alone assures our victory. Jacob prevailed in a sense, but God blessed him and changed him. And even his older brother would submit to him, and the nation bearing his name Israel would prevail over her enemies. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing in John 15, 5. So we need to stay focused on the main thing. Victorious living only happens when we stay focused on Jesus. No shortcuts, because without me, you can do nothing. Wrestling with God will leave you changed, and it may leave you with a limp, a reminder of the encounter that you are both blessed and humbled. When was the last time you went to God in prayer and contended for a blessing? Refused to let go until God would indeed answer. Doesn't Paul suggest that kind of prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5? That kind of tenacious prayer that will change you. You will be a witness to God's goodness and your own frailty, and you may actually walk with a limp. So what situation are you wrestling with God with right now in your life? Seek the Lord's blessing in the midst of the struggle, He may have a blessing that you have no idea what it would be. But don't give up. Don't give in. Keep your focus on Jesus and be prepared to be changed for the glory of God. Next week, we'll look at another Old Testament story that will remind us of that God is still God. He's still at work. He's still seeking His beloved, you and me, for His honor and for His glory. So today, if you're wrestling with God, let me encourage you. God's trying to tell you something. God's trying to give you a new calling, a new identity. Perhaps He's calling you to say, submit to me, abide in me, and I will bless you, just like He did Jacob. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we recognize today that we may not physically wrestle with the angel of the Lord, but we wrestle emotionally, spiritually, with so many things. And Lord, in those moments when we sense we are wrestling with You in those difficult things of life, may we simply submit and say, here I am, Lord. Use me as You will. Show me the way to go. Allow me to abide in faith in Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your word to us today, Lord. And may we indeed be encouraged by it and convicted by it as we serve You this week. In Jesus' name, amen.